2021 Writing Contest, Honorable Mention. 10 Pieces of the Puzzle of Life by Tony Horton. Read by Tony Horton. This section is marked by parts.
A brief biographical sketch. I was born in 1951 in Abington, Pennsylvania, the son of a Baptist minister and his loving wife of 69 years. A product of the 60s, I rose to the top on Wall Street and then descended to the bottom of society through addiction, incarceration, homelessness, loss of family and friends, and eventually hopelessness. But all of this served as a foundation for a spectacular resurrection through Jesus Christ. Back to the place where I began, the house of the Lord. The name of my submission is 10 Pieces from the Puzzle of Life. 10 pieces of inspirational poetry from the mind, heart, and life of Anthony Horton. I pray that you not only get a blessing from the hearing of these words, but that you also enjoy them too. Piece number one. Your word is a lamp, God, and it's shining real bright, showing me clearly the wrong from the right. But sometimes I worry, I doubt, and have fear. And those are the times when right and wrong aren't so clear. Should I be patient like Job, sit silent and pray, and stand on my faith while my life wastes away? Or should I be assertive, proactive, and in fact seize the time and do all that I can to make sure I get mine? Yeah, sometimes the right and the wrong aren't so clear. I guess that's why they say faith is the absence of fear. Don't worry, be happy. That's what the songwriter said. And I try to think like that sometimes when I'm lying in bed, but still my thoughts are disturbing and they can't be ignored, and a small voice inside me still says, wait on the Lord. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is quite weak. The cupboard is bare and the prospects are bleak. But I'm going to stand on your word, God, and have faith when I pray, because Jesus' name in Hebrew is Yeshua, and that means the way. I know he's the way, he's the truth, he's the light, and I'll sing praises to your Abba, Father, in his name, all through the night. The cupboard is bare and the prospects are bleak, but still I know you're the answer to all that I seek. And my situation is changing, and I truly believe that right now. The burden's being lifted, and I don't even know how. So I thank you, my Father, for the light of your word and that small voice inside me that somehow I heard. And I thank you for Jesus and the joy in my heart that lets me know, Father, we're never apart. And I thank you, my Father, that your word does not fail. And if I just stand in faith, I will always prevail. Piece number two. I know the plans I have for you, plans not to harm but to prosper you. Behold, I am making all things new. Return to me and I'll return to you. What an awesome promise from our Lord. That I, even I, could be restored. Sins forgiven, past ignored, blessings in and on me poured. God, I'm so glad that you're not like men, because you're more patient with me than my most patient friend. Because I return to you again and again, and again and again I return to my sin. And not just in some mistaking, erring way, but blatantly disobedient day after day. Forgive me, Father. Please forgive me now. Because I do want to serve you. Please show me how. I read your word, I fast, I pray, and I still fall short every single day. That's why I thank you for your mercy and your grace, and for your open arms and your smiling face, and for letting me know that even though I fail, victory's mine and I will prevail. And I thank you for telling me every day, Father, the battle's not yours, because I still need help staying out of those revolving doors, Because even though I'm out of Egypt, Egypt's still in me. And even though there are no bars, walls, or chains, I know I'm still not free. Father, give me more of your Holy Spirit. I love your voice and I long to hear it. And one more thing, Father, grant me, please. An open, broken heart on bended knees. Piece number three. The man was quite tipsy as he walked down the street. Very erratic, like he had two left feet. He whistles a tune, he stumbles and falls. He tries to get up, but he can't, so he crawls to a lamppost where he pulls himself up. But then he takes out a bottle and turns it straight up. He talks and he gestures to an invisible friend. He takes a few more steps and then he falls once again. Is this a comedy or a tragedy? You be the judge. Because stereotyped images run deep and they don't budge. That man will be a comedy. Unless he were your son. And in that case, it would be a tragedy. And to him, you would run. And what about that girl that everybody hugs who day after day sells her body for drugs? Up on the sofa, down on her knees, ready, willing, and able to please. She belongs on the trash pile with the scum of the world. But what if you were the parent of that little girl? We all are God's children. And he loves us all much, especially those who are rebellious and rough. Because some haven't fallen, they running in a leap, straight into sin where they wallow real deep. But Christ doesn't condemn you. He'll heal and restore. Your sins are forgiven. Go, sin no more. Bring out a robe, a ring. Kill the calf. My child is returned. Let's party and laugh. Not like most of us who say, let's watch, wait, and see if he comes to his senses and lives right just like me. He's going to need some rehab, some probation too, because he can't expect complete restoration after all he put me through. Stranded and bleeding, alone on a ledge, surrounded by serpents, Christ was my hedge. He is the good shepherd who left all those good sheep to rescue this one bad one. His love is that deep. Piece number four. Some people have big problems like no arms and no legs. Some people have small problems like they can't find their keys. Some people are praying that their dogs will have puppies while others are praying for a cure for their disease. But one thing is common to us all, and it really doesn't matter big or small. God cares, he's always there, and he never gives you more than you're able to bear. But sometimes, just like the disciples in that boat on the water, our thoughts get confused, filled with fear and disorder, and we feel swamped, overwhelmed, about to go down. The boat's filling up with water, and they thought they were going to drown. But Jesus was with them. He was sleeping right there. They woke him up in a panic and said, Master, you don't care that our boat's being overwhelmed and is about to go down? We're about to hit the water and we're all going to drown. He looked at them with amazement and said, O ye of little faith. Because they still hadn't grasped the essence of the message. That as long as God is with you, you're always safe. Then he said, Peace be still to the winds and water. And everything around them returned to a sense of divine order. The disciples stood amazed at this display of awesome power that even the storm didn't have enough strength to devour. We too at times get overwhelmed and we feel like we're going down. The winds and water start swirling and it feels like we're about to drown when we really need to rebuke the devourer because Jesus gave us all power. And we need to speak peace be still to our winds and water. And at least internally, we too can have a sense of divine order. Because the storms of life are going to come with their winds and water cold. But if God is truly with us, it is still well with our soul. Piece number 5. Like Satan, I was stubborn and I had to be the best. Hard driving and patient, a cut above the rest. Insensitive, self-reliant, and chronically independent. I even tried to compete with God. Was I crazy or just demented? Demented, that's the perfect word. It has that demonic sound. And demons did control my life. They ran me in the ground. It had to be poor self-esteem that made me so independent. Independence made me critical, egotistical, and in many ways a cynic. Being critical and egotistical has led to isolation. Isolation led me into sin and lots of aggravation. Once you're deep in the sin, you're far away from God. And once again, poor self-esteem will start making you feel odd. The cycle repeats itself. And it feels like you can't win unless some kind of way you can get to God and make the cycle end. Now, how does one get back to God? There are a lot of different theories. I guess that's why so many people give up. Their spirit often wearies. Especially if their spirit is in oneness from the Lord, Satan tries to make it hard for us to get restored. But really, it's quite simple. Accept and just agree. Deliverance is a gift, my friend, that's absolutely free. You can learn to be dependent. God will always bring you through. Stay humble and compassionate because love will help you too. And as your faith and walk gets stronger, you become God's son. The cycle will be broken and the battle can be won. But there'll be other battles and other victories too. But remember to stay close to God so your strength he can renew. Piece number 6. The Maccabees drove the Syrians out. They were a devout religious cause, which gave rise to the Hasidim who knew every letter of all Moses' laws. They called themselves God's loyal ones. They were holy and set apart. They later were called the Pharisees, and that's how they got their start. Their group was very exclusive. They believed that they alone had access to God. Everybody else was not only wrong, they were stupid, unclean, and odd. The more religious people get, the more superior it makes them feel. They are right, everybody else is wrong. They believe that they alone have God's seal. They give a tenth to the church. They give a tenth to the poor. They give a tenth to TV ministry. And on top of that, they still give more. They attend Wednesday night Bible study. They fast a lot and pray. A great big cross is around their neck and they carry their Bibles with them every single day. Because what good does it do to be holy if God is the only one who's going to know? So they do their works for the eyes of men so that their righteousness to all will show. But then there was this other man who recently lost his wife. She left him for another man and it shattered his whole entire life. He also just got busted and is currently out on bail. He knows he's going to have to do some time and his home will soon be jail. He also has an addiction and he rarely goes to church. Religion never appealed to him, so in vain he tries to search for something, some solutions, some answers for his life. Something that will give him some peace of mind and an end to all the strife. So he takes a chance and he goes to church and he bows his head to pray. But he really doesn't know the words or the right thing he's supposed to say. So he cries out to God from within his heart. God, if you're listening, please show me how to come to you. I'll crawl. I'm on my knees. I know I'm not the best of men. In fact, I'm probably one of the worst. But my whole life is in ruins, God, and I hunger now and thirst. Hold me, God, within your arms. Show me how to go. Help me to be a man, dear God. Help my faith to grow. God, I give my all to you. I'm broken now, it's true. But I've seen you help some other folks. God, please, will you help me too? You know, it's good when you got all those externals, as long as you have God within. But I would much rather have God hear my prayers than to be seen as righteous in the eyes of men. Piece number 7. Love and compassion are things we preach and teach, but are often reluctant to extend to those who fall outside the boundary lines of what we would consider to be a friend. Strangers, neighbors, casual acquaintances, and such are often denied the benefit of our loving, compassionate touch. In fact, Scripture says the love of many will wax cold, while haters spit venomous lies continuously, loud and bold, throwing fresh fuel on the smoldering embers of fires that have been burning for years, a highly volatile mixture of fears and tears, causing many to run and stockpile guns, vowing never to go down without a fight, refusing to even entertain the possibility that the other side just might be right. Have we finally crossed the Rubicon? Have we gone too far to turn back? Two opposing forces moving rapidly in opposite directions on the very same track. Collision seems inevitable, disaster unavoidable. People are so gullible, stubborn, and irrational, fierce, contentious, lacking natural affection, not open to any agreement, connection, or correction. It seems like the only thing that's able to pull us away from the sound of our own self-centered voice is when we're placed in a situation that offers us absolutely no other choice as to the hand that's being extended to save us. Whether it comes from the left or the right, someone rich or poor, black or white. In that moment, life and death are all you get to see. And it's sad that it takes moments like these for us to finally break free. Floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, drought, forest fires, pandemics, and other situations that offer us no other way out except to grab that hand that's being extended. Live or die. No time for discussion, bickering, or even wondering why. It seems like the more technologically advanced we get, the crazier we become. And the smarter we seem to think we are, the more we act dumb. I'm thankful that even though we're surrounded by disasters and calamity, God provides within them moments of absolute crystal clarity, reducing us to the bottom line truth. We not only need each other, but every man has the potential of being my brother. We all need love, not just for each other, but for the Father above, because he's the only one who can deliver us from the mess that we've made, and only he can answer all the many prayers that are being prayed. And as global warming continues to encroach upon the earth, circumstances for love and compassion are continually being given birth. Let your hand be that hand that's being extended to the stranger, neighbor, casual acquaintance, and such, because everybody in this life deserves to feel a loving, compassionate touch. Piece number 8. Everybody's hurting. Everybody's in need. Are you going to be a fruitful vine or are you just a weed? Plague, pestilence, greed, and war ravaging the earth. It seems like a pretty good time for God's people to show what their faith is really worth. Not cowering in the shadows, filled with anxiety, wondering why, but ministering to those around them with pocketbooks open and heads held high. Faithfully serving others day after day, even if sometimes you have to put your own self in harm's way. Not foolishly or recklessly, but with godly wisdom, faith, and prayer, because they realize that even in the worst of circumstances, God is still right there, still with all power, still on the throne, still reassuring his people that they'll never walk alone. Because it's hard not to be afraid when death is all around and the death toll keeps rising every day on every continent and almost every town. And then we're told to practice social distancing. Don't get too close. But God's people recognize that the ones we shy away from are probably the ones who need us the most. Because everybody's hurting. Everybody's in need. Are you going to be a fruitful vine or are you just a weed? Plague, pestilence, greed, and war ravaging the earth. Seems like a pretty good time for God's people to show what their faith is really worth. Did you know that there are people on ventilators gasping for air? But even if they have to take that last breath, God is still lovingly right there. And doctors and nurses are crying out daily for more PPE, more face masks, gloves, and gowns. But even in the midst of their lack, they still faithfully make their appointed rounds. while politicians are crying out for a swift return to the status quo, all the while with their eyes firmly fixed on what they consider to be the bottom line, making more dough. But most people just want hope, an end to the pandemic, and strength to cope. Did you know that there's a swarm of locusts larger than the state of New York just eating up everything in its path, laying more eggs? While millions of refugees are running from war barefooted on weary legs. No clean water, toilets, medicine, or food. Just running for their lives, animalistically crude. And forest fires now burn for months, no longer weeks or days, that we seem to be unable to put out with all our technologically advanced ways. And what about the Amazon rainforest with all the mining and cutting down of trees, and nobody seems to be interested in the extinction of the Aboriginal people or listening to their cries and pleas? And that Amazon rainforest supplies about 1/3 of the Earth's clean air. What will we do when we strip it all bare? This is a very good example of the wisdom of man. Woe to the Earth, for destruction's at hand. Global warming, rising seas, apocalyptic storms, incurable disease. Everybody's hurting. Everybody's in need. Are you going to be a fruitful vine or are you just a weed? Plague, pestilence, greed, and war are ravaging the earth. It seems like a pretty good time for God's people to show what their faith is really worth. Piece number 9. Windows of opportunity surround us every day. Choices or chances to do things God's way. Is there healing or venom in the things that you say? Help us, sweet Jesus, to do things your way. Do you do unto others before they do you? Do you render to Caesar the all that he's due? Do you humbly ask Jesus your strength to renew? Are you really for God or is it all about you? Storm clouds may gather, but they will not prevail. God has all power and his word will not fail. Satan's a liar, a robber, a thief. Help me, sweet Jesus, with my unbelief. Windows of opportunity surround us every day. Choices or chances to do things God's way. Is there healing or venom in the things that you say? Help us, sweet Jesus, to do things your way. Mom was a Christian. And Daddy was too. They did all the good things that parents can do. Sometimes we'd listen and sometimes we'd stray, but we always had chances to do things God's way. Jobs, friends, and family, they all have their place. They all can add balance as we run the good race. But they also add tension and trials every day. Help us, sweet Jesus, to do things your way. Do you encourage your family? Do you uplift your friends? Do you know that your jobs are just means to your ends? Do you glorify Jesus in all that you do? Are you really for God or is it all about you? Windows of opportunity surround us every day. Choices or chances to do things God's way. Is there healing or venom in the things that you say? Help us, sweet Jesus, to do things your way. Number 10, how do I ride if I don't have a fare? How do I eat when the cupboard is bare? How do I hold on if my faith just ain't there? Some people say it's the power of prayer. Take your burdens to the Lord and just leave them there. I mean, he really does care. Your burdens he'll share, but ain't Satan the ruler of the power of the air? He got the whole world in his hands. He got the whole world in his hands. He got the whole world in his hands. But he gives us the power to make our own plans. And therein the crux of the whole matter stands. Because the choices we make, chances we take, laws that we break for our own selfish sake, make it hard for us to admit that we made a mistake. And then we asked ourselves over and over again, didn't I know the Lord was my friend? That his kindness, his grace, and his mercy don't end, that all of my battles eventually I'd win. Now here I am with this big stupid grin on the floor on my knees in a jam once again, knowing my actions was nothing but sin. And Satan's still telling me, you're gonna win. He never stops trying and lying, amen? But what if I had stayed? What if I had prayed? What if I had just trusted and obeyed? But what if it's fruitless? Because I can't change the past. But one thing in prayer, God, I humbly ask. Help me a better person to be. A better son, a better father, a better servant for thee. Because one thing, even in my blindness, I see. And that's nothing will ever change until I change me. This is the end of 10 pieces from the puzzle of life. I pray that you have gotten a blessing from the hearing of these words.